Welcome, welcome to Kingdom Women Ministry Podcast. I am happy that you joined me today, that you found me on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. I just want to remind you to subscribe so that you can be notified of all of our upcoming episodes that are soon to be released. I am going through the Armor of God series, and so I'm picking up from the previous episode where I talked about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In the previous episode. In this episode, I'm going to be moving on in the teaching on the armor of God that the Holy Spirit poured out to me. So before I get started, I just want to pray, and I want to pray for everybody who's listening to this episode. And so in the name of Jesus, Father, I come before your throne. I humble my heart before you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you move through me and that everyone who listens to this episode is edified by your Holy Spirit, Lord, in power and in the authority that you have given unto me, Lord Jesus. I thank you right now for each and every listener, Lord. I ask that you bless them. I ask that you restore them. I ask that you nourish them, Lord Jesus. And I ask that you feed them with the word that you have given to me for this particular episode. And Father, I ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. So, I read through Ephesians 6, verse 10, and verse 10 reads like this. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." So this part of the episode, I'm going to focus on where it says, "and in his mighty power." Because that, when I read the particular scripture and the Holy Spirit stopped me on that part where it says, "and in his mighty power," as I was thinking about "in his mighty power," and I kept reading over that, I heard the Lord tell me, this. The Lord said, "I want you to understand me from this perspective. Everything about me is powerful. I want you to know why. I want you to see me as almighty powerful, and I need you to see that I'm living in you." And so the Lord wants us to recognize that he is almighty powerful. And so with him living on the inside of us through his Holy Spirit, that means we possess the power of God on the inside of us. That means we are filled with the power of God on the inside of us, because if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he, resurrected from the grave on the third day, then that means you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And so the Holy Spirit comes with power. And so the Lord wants us to recognize that we possess his power, right? And so where it says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." It makes you think, and it made me think, okay, well, what does it mean to be strong in your mighty power, Lord? Like, what does that mean? The Lord explained to me, he said, it means to be infused with me. And so I said, okay, it made me really think, okay, Lord, so to be infused with you. Yeah, he told me to look up the word infused. So I looked up the definition of infused, and it says to fill, pervade, or allow a liquid to flow into a patient's veins. Some similar words, it says impart, permeate, saturate, inundate, immerse, breathe, implant, impregnate, right? And so what the Lord is saying, he says it means to be infused with him. So we are supposed to be infused with the Lord in his fullness. We are supposed to be saturated with the Lord. We are supposed to be immersed in the Lord, right? And I made me in question. I said, okay, Lord, so in order to move in your mighty power, what does one have to do? And he said, it requires you to partner with me. Okay. And so it made me think, okay, partner with the Lord, right? Because we like to partner with people on earth. At least I do. You know, I love to partner with people. I love to work with people. And of course, if it's easier to work with someone when there are similar, you know, aspects and when the communication is seamless, right? It's more challenging when the communication is broken, right, to partner with other people. But yet, the Lord tells us It requires that we partner with him in order to be infused with his mighty power. And so I then proceeded to ask the Lord, well, what does it mean and what does it look like to partner with you, Lord? Right. And as I was asking that particular question, the Lord made me think about a time when I partnered with him. Right. There was a particular time I was sitting in Bible study at my church and the Lord had given me a word to speak to someone. Right. And so as I thought on the word to speak to that person, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, not yet. And I was like, I stopped immediately from, you know, proceeding to try to speak out what I heard the Holy Spirit tell me. And so I just waited on the Lord. I didn't know what he wanted me to do, but I know he didn't want me to speak the word at that moment. And so, you know, the congregation began to, you know, kind of move on with the message. And then it just so happened at a specific time the Lord chose for this word to go forward. The Holy Spirit told me, the Lord said, now, daughter, speak the word now. So I spoke the word at the perfect time that the Lord told me to speak it. And at that time, the person's heart and soul, it's like I was able to see them take in that word, and that word penetrated them in the perfect way that the Lord wanted it to penetrate. So the word that the Holy Spirit gave to me when I partnered with the Holy Spirit and I spoke it at the time that the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak it, it came with power and it came with authority. And so the Lord is saying to us that in order for us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, we must partner with him. We must get in sync with him. We must align ourselves with him. We must walk with him. We must speak with him. We must allow him to be our hands and our feet and tell us what to do and what to say and where to go. And when we do that, when we find ourselves flowing with the Lord in his timing, we will find that power and authority is also flowing with us. And so the Lord told me, like, literally in that particular scenario, I waited for him to speak. And then I spoke when he told me to speak, and I stayed in the place that he wanted me to be. And so that's an example of what it means and what it looks like to partner with the Lord. And so the Lord told me, he said, as you flow with me, you move in power. And I said, okay, Lord. So he said, everything I do is powerful, meaning everything he does is powerful. And so he wants us to flow with him. He wants us to abide in power. God wants his power to be on earth. Like, he wants to give it to us. He wants us to freely accept it. He wants us to freely flow with him in power and in love and in authority. So it's not something that God wants to withhold from us. He wants us to come unto him, seeking him for greater understanding in this area and how to flow with him. And he shall bestow his power upon us, and we shall flow in the authority that the Lord has given to us by his Spirit. And so it's something that we must see. God desires. God desires that we are strong in him and that we are also strong in his mighty power. And so in this example, the Lord pretty much said to me, it's as simple as moving in his Spirit. It's as simple as moving in the Holy Spirit. And so when we think about partnering with the Holy Spirit, right, we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And the Spirit of God is always moving, always moving, always moving. And so when we see that the Holy Spirit is always moving, then it encourages us to build ourselves up in the Spirit. It encourages us to pray in our Holy Spirit language, as it says in many books in the Bible. It says in the book of Acts, it says it in the book of Jude, it speaks it across the whole Bible, it says it in the book of Revelations, it speaks it across many different stories in the Bible, many different books of the Bible. It speaks it, right, to build ourselves up. It talks about it in Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. It talks about it. Paul is encouraging Timothy to, build himself up. It's a fan into flames, the gift that was given to him when Paul laid his hands on Timothy, right? And he imparted the Holy Spirit. And so we can build ourselves up in power, build ourselves up in the authority of the Lord by praying in the Holy Spirit, which will encourage us to readily and willingly partner with our Lord to move in his power as he has called us to move, right? And it made me think about, you know, just what that is to, what does that look like? And just because we are building ourselves up in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we're going to have a life that's free of difficulties and trials and temptation. Those things shall come because we're upon the earth. But the Lord encourages us. He says in his scripture, he says, be of good cheer, right? Because he has overcome the world. He has overcome these challenges, right? Like, we shall have trials, we shall have tribulations in this world, but to be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. And so when we see that Christ has overcome the world, then that gives us encouragement. It gives us hope to know that we too should overcome the challenges that we are facing because we're in this world presently. It gives us hope and strength and endurance to keep going no matter the circumstance that we are facing. And as we push forward, right, walking with the Lord, we will also find that we grow in his power. We grow in his authority, right? And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to see you as? Like, why do you want me to see you as almighty powerful, Lord? And he said, I want you to know how to operate in the power and the authority I've given to you, right? So how we see God, the eyes that we use to see God is the same eyes that will be that we will use to see ourselves. So the greater we grow in knowledge and wisdom of who God is, it's going to encourage us to see that we are the same, right? We are made in the image and likeness of God. And so when we know that our Father is full of power and authority, and we really come to understand that and know that, it will cause us to see that we are also full of his power and authority. Why? Because we are in his body. We are part of God and God is a part of us. And so we are one with our Father. We are one with our Lord through Christ Jesus, right? And so then we will come to recognize, okay, Lord, you're almighty powerful. Well, then I think that means that I'm almighty powerful in through you. Or like I'll say it this way, that we possess God's power. We possess God's authority, right? Because he is our Father and he gives unto us the things that belong to him. Just how he said he has given unto Jesus the things that belong to him, right? And Jesus now gives unto us the things that belong to him. And so this is what the Lord wants us to see. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to see that he's living on the inside of us. And he wants us to know his power. Okay, so then I said, okay, Lord, how do I come to know your power? How do I learn your power? He said, when I created you, my breath was given to you. I imparted myself to you. Everything you do, I am moving. Every breath you take, I am moving. And so it's important for us to see, like, God is moving through us each and every time. He is never at a point where he's ceasing from moving. Even when it feels like God is not moving, he is moving. He is constantly moving. He is constantly flowing in us and through us, right? And so that's what the Lord told me when I asked him. I said, okay, Lord, well, what is it that you're trying to get me to see? He said, every time you pray, power is flowing. Every time you breathe, power is flowing. Every time you speak, power is flowing. Every time you step, power is flowing. He says, I'm almighty powerful and I live in you. Everything you do is powerful. This is what I want you to see and this is what I want you to take away. So when we think about the fact that God wants us to walk in his mighty power, right? There's a reason for it. So let's look at that. Let's look at that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And so, in other words, the Lord is saying to arm yourself with his weapons, right? This is something that he wants us to do. He wants us to put on his full armor, arming ourselves with the weapons of God, which we're going to talk about in a little later, right? But he's saying to us here that we should put on his armor. We're supposed to wear our weapons. We're supposed to have God's weapons and armor and equipment ready to use at any given time. That is what we're supposed to walk around with. That's what we're supposed to have ready in our mind and our hearts and our bodies and our soul, right? We're supposed to have that ready. So let's look at the scripture further. It says, so put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And so the Lord told me he was highlighting to hear the fact that the devil attacks us all in a few different ways. And so it's important to understand how the enemy comes against you, because when you understand how he comes against you, then you can stand against him in that area. And you can see that it is not someone in your family, it's not a friend, it's not a coworker, it's not a boss that's attacking you, but it's really something behind it that is seeking to come against you. And so the Lord highlighted a few things to me here. And I said, okay, Lord, show me how the devil attacks me, right? And the Lord was saying to me at that time, he said, he attacks my mind and my identity. He causes doubt and he causes guilt, right? And he said, so there are times when the enemy will come against us. And I know I'm not the only one in this area. In terms of our mind, the enemy likes to send thoughts and images against other people in our mind. So what does that look like? That looks like, say, for example, you know, you had a conversation with someone and there was a disagreement about something, right? You walk away from the conversation. And what do you see and what do you find yourself doing? You stay in a place in your mind when you're having a conversation with that person in your mind and they are not even there anymore. Like, you're still talking to the person. You're having a full-blown conversation. You have images going on in your mind. You're perceiving what you should have said, how you should have said it. You're perceiving the thoughts that you had. You're perceiving what that person feels about you. You're saying all these different things. And these things are all happening in your mind, in your imagination. That is where the enemy attacks us. He attacks us in our imagination. And it's important for us to recognize these things. That is why in 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul tells us to cast down imaginations and all high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and then have a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. And so Paul is saying that our weapons in God are mighty to pull down strongholds and to cast down these imaginations that the enemy is sending to us. So recognize that the enemy attacks your imagination. He attacks our imagination in many ways, not just arguments with people. He likes to send lustful imaginations to our mind. That is an attack of the enemy. Recognize that. When he attacks our mind with images of evil, images of lust, evil images of, pride, exalting ourselves, he tries to attack our mind in many different areas, but it's in the imagination he sends his weapons. He sends his fiery arrows in the imagination. So recognize that, because when you recognize that these thoughts, 95% of the time are not from you, you will then start to stand in your true identity and who God made you to be. And you won't feel condemned in your heart for the false imaginations that the enemy are sending to your mind to cause you to feel as if God doesn't accept you. It is a lie from the enemy that he is sending to your mind to get you to think that God is against you because of the thoughts that are happening in your mind, which are not even originating from you. So recognize the enemy attacks your imagination, and recognize that God is not against you for the imaginations that happen in your mind. God loves you. He will never, ever, ever, ever walk away from you. There is no thing you can do to cause God to walk away from you. We are the ones who will choose to walk away from God, but God does not walk away from us. He is faithful to us, even when we are not faithful to him, and no action can cause us to walk away from him. Look at what Adam and Eve did in a garden. They completely disobeyed God in the garden, ate the fruit, disobeyed God. God did not walk away from him. He even made a promise to them in the middle of the garden that he shall restore them through the seed that Eve was going to produce. And so God is faithful to us. The next thing that the Lord was showing me in terms of how the enemy attacks our identity, he wants us to feel as though God pushes us away from him. He wants us to feel as though God does not welcome us. And that is what the Lord was saying to me. He said, this is how the enemy attacks. He seeks to attack our identity, right? We are children of God. We are children of God. God accepts all of his children. He accepts everyone who belongs to him. He does not reject his children. We are his children. And so it's important for us to recognize that we are welcome in our Father's house. We are welcome in our Father's throne room. Our Father wants us with them. Our Father sees us as he sees Jesus. He wants our presence. He delights in our presence. He delights in our worship. He delights in the time that we spend to him. Even in the things that we do that are flawed, know that everything that we do for God will be flawed. We will not do things perfectly for God. But God still takes joy and delight in the things that we do for him. And so the enemy wants us to feel as though our Father does not accept us, but that is a lie. Our Father is a good Father, and he gives good gifts to his children. And so the next way the enemy likes to attack is through doubt. The Lord showed me in this area how the enemy was seeking to come against me. Like it was as if my feet were taking one path, right? Say I made a decision to go left down a road and I start walking down the road and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to go right. And then I start turning right and I start walking down that road to go right. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that. I want to go left. And so then I turned to go left. And so the enemy was constantly sending doubt to my mind to get me to go on different paths that the Lord, you know, was not sending me on. He was causing doubt to make me fear the choices that I was making. But God is with us on each path that we take. And the Lord knows how to steer us back on the right path. But the enemy seeks to send doubt to us to cause us to question. What did our Father say to us? Does our Father really love us? Is our Father really with us? Is he, for us? Is he protecting us? Is he these things? Like the enemy sends doubt. Doubt is something that he sends to cause us to try to get off track from who we are and who we belong to. And so recognize that as a way that the enemy seeks to move against God's children. And so the next thing is guilt. The enemy wants us to feel guilty. He wants you to feel like God is accusing you. God does not accuse you of anything. The accuser of the brethren is the enemy. The accuser of the brethren is the devil. God does not accuse us of anything. He took away our sins and he remembers our sins no more. That is what the scripture says. So there is nothing left on the table for God to accuse us with. There is no wrong written against us for God to judge us in. Jesus' blood was so sufficient, beyond sufficient, that it covered all past, all present, and all future wrongs. So there is nothing written down against you that God could hold against you because you believe in Jesus Christ. And so that means there is nothing for you to be guilty in. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation for those who believe in Christ Jesus. There is no guilt. There is no shame. There's no condemnation. God loves you and he loves you abundantly, abundantly, way beyond anything. When he looks at you, he sees his son, Jesus. And does God have anything against Jesus? Is God condemning Jesus? Is God abandoning Jesus? Did God abandon Jesus in the grave? No. So there was no depth, there was no low degree that you could ever travel that God would abandon you. Jesus went to the lowest of the lowest possibility for us. And the Lord still brought him up from that low point. So whatever the lowest point is in your life that you feel the most shame, you feel the most guilt, you feel the most condemnation about, God is still deeper than that. His love is still deeper than that. And his love is still deeper than that and able to pull you up from that area. God's love pulls you up from the grave just as he pulled Jesus up from the grave. And so see that the guilt and the shame and the condemnation is a lie. It is not from your father. It is not how your father feels about you either. There is nothing that you will ever do that will cause God to turn his love away from you. You want to have a better relationship with the Lord, and so the enemy seeks to attack in that area. The things that we desire to have with God, the enemy wants to come against. But it is the truth. The word of God is the truth. And the word says that God cannot lie. He is not man that he should lie. He is not man that he should change his mind. God cannot lie. And so in that, we can trust the Lord at his word, that when he says he loves us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So I read over Ephesians 6:11 again. And as I read over this, I read it like this: put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And I looked at your stand, right? That just stood out to me this time. And as I looked at your stand, I asked the Lord, like, why are you highlighting your to me? And he said, I'm emphasizing your stand. He says, I want you to improve your stand. Your stand is important, and I am building you up to stand strong in me. I want you to be willing to fight when required and halt when required. Like, hashtag check your stands, like, right? How are you standing right now? Are you standing strong in the Lord? Are you weak? Are you nervous? Are you afraid? Like, what is it? God wants you to stand strong in him, right? And so he will build you up and he will cause you to stand strong in him, because that is his desire. He wants us to be mature children of the living God, standing strong in him, trusting him at all times. Right. And so he wants us to evaluate our stance. Like, where are you standing right now? Right. Like, what place are you occupying? The place that you occupy is the place that your thoughts are resting on. So wherever your thoughts are, that is where you are. Wherever your heart is, that is where you are. So where is your heart? Where is your mind? What are you occupying? What are you filling your heart and your mind with? What thoughts are happening? Right. What's going on the inside of you? Is it worry? Is it concern? Is it frustration? That is the stance you are taking right now. But God doesn't want us in those places, right? He says, do not worry. He says, do not be afraid, right? Do not fear. So that means God doesn't want us standing in these places. He doesn't want us occupying these places. He wants us to be occupying him. And he is the strong tower in our lives. He is strong. He is mighty. He is powerful. So God wants us to occupy a place that is powerful, mighty, strong, at peace, at rest, right? And so that is what God is calling us to consider where we are now and then consider where he wants us to be. And he wants us to overcome all of these things, right? He doesn't condemn us in these areas at all. He's calling these things to our attention so that we can choose to enter into peace, to choose to enter into rest, to say, Lord, you know what? I surrender to you. I lay down every thought. I lay down every idea. Help me in these areas to overcome these weaknesses. Help me to overcome worry. Help me to overcome fear. Help me to overcome anxiousness. Help me to overcome anxiety. Help me to overcome these things and to stand strong in you, in all places, at all times, not worrying, not being afraid, right? Because he cares for us. The Lord cares for us. And so if you want to overcome these areas, you can ask the Lord, like, show me. Like, why, Lord, am I worrying? Why am I fearing? Why am I afraid? Why am I these things, right? Ask the Lord to show you. He would give you insight. And then also he'll give you the way out. And he'll give you the strength to endure it as he's bringing you out as well. And so it's important to understand this. Like, the Lord was talking to me about a self-righteous stance that I was standing in, right? The Lord told me, he said, you have this stance because you want people to value you. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So self-righteousness comes from a place where I devalue myself, like causing me to work harder as showing I have value, right? And so the Lord was showing me, like, I'm working harder. You know, I'm seeking to prove I'm right so that people can see I'm valuable. But in this area, the Lord is working on my heart. He's been improving the value that I have placed upon myself. He has been increasing that value. He has been showing me that I'm valuable to him, I'm valuable in him, and I'm valuable to the lives of other people as well. And it's not something that I had to earn. It was given to me by Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. And so the armor of God protects me from the lie that says I am not valuable. The armor of God, meaning the truth of who God is, the truth of who I am, the truth of what God does, the power and the authority that God reigns in, right, protects me and my value. It protects you and your value. And that is something that God wants us to recognize, that he wants us to occupy his power, his authority, his goodness, his righteousness. He wants us to occupy this place. And as we occupy this place, we will stand strong in the Lord. We will be strong in his power. We will be strong in his authority, just as he has called us to be and to walk in his full armor. He wants our heart and our mind to occupy him at all times. He wants our heart and our mind to be rested on him, to be focused on him, and to be meditating on him at all times. So if this episode blessed you today, go ahead and share it with someone else. Someone else is going to need to hear the word of God. Share it. I encourage you to subscribe so that you can stay up to date on our next episodes as well. We're going to be continuing this Ephesians chapter 6 Armor of God series for a few more episodes, and you don't want to miss it. Until next time, I am Takiya, and Kingdom Women, I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus.